And now to Egypt, where the justice minister says an agreement is imminent in that dispute between President Mohamed Morsi and the country's Supreme Judiciary Council. Last week, Morsi granted himself sweeping new powers, he said, to prevent the judges from interfering with the newly elected parliament. The country's judges have all been appointed by former President Hosni Mubarak, who you know was deposed after the revolution that began January 25, 2011. But Morsi's decree prompted 4 days of violent protest by democracy activists who saw it as a power grab, taking Egypt back to dictatorship. And this is just after Morsi negotiated that ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, winning praise from the U.S., but scorn from some Egyptians. Let's start our look at Egypt with a brief touchdown in Cairo with radio open source host Chris Lydon. He's been watching the protest over the last few days. We reached him via Skype, a somewhat shaky connection. But Chris, what's going on?
People talk about this is the most important day since January 25th last year. And yet you'd be amazed how calm things are. These people are professionals by now at protest. They're very serious about it. They're utterly confident. But we don't see the clashes that make the headlines. We see very, very determined people in amazingly good humor. It's like a football game. It's not life and death, and nobody really expects the government to fall.
Well, you say not life and death, but there is the concern that it will get violent. And I guess tell us more about people you've spoken with who do see this, who are on the side that sees this as a power grab. You use words like Mubarak Redux or Morsellini. You know.
Yeah, these are the jokes. Morsellini, he's an ass, he's a wannabe dictator, he's a pharaoh. I mean, there's all sorts of ridicule and dismay at the dimensions of dictatorship looming.
Well, what about the people that we've been seeing also on American television who say, you know what, we trust President Morsi, we understand that what he's trying to do is protect the newly elected fragile parliament, as they write the constitution, from the Mubarak-appointed judges?
You hear this word coming from Washington. We don't hear it in Cairo at all. In Cairo, this is a power grab, plain and simple. It's very nasty. Also, there's this line out that Hillary gave Morsi a pat on the back and a big hug, like a kindergarten teacher giving a child a gold star. You've done so well, our boy. We're back to the old relationship of a man who respects the United States and has sort of abandoned the Egyptian people again in that relationship. This is what really worries the Egyptians we hear.
That's veteran journalist and radio open source host Chris Lydon. We'll hook you up with their blog where they are following all of this in Cairo. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin. Pleasure.
So tough to hear Chris there. But again, some Egyptians seeing Hillary Clinton and President Morsi as someone giving a kindergarten kid a gold star. Let's turn to Dr. Farouk Elbaz. He's professor of geology here at Boston University. He also served as science advisor to the late Egyptian president Anwar Sadat. Very familiar with all things Egyptian. Professor, you heard what Chris had to say. These suspicions about U.S. motives and maybe giving a winking nod to President Morsi for that power grab. On the other hand, there are people in the West who don't see Morsi as aligned with the U.S. or Israel, but as aligned with Palestinians.
Yes, but I really don't think that Morsi did get a clear green light to do this. This is something that Morsi did with his group of the Muslim Brotherhood.
You don't see this as a quid pro quo, the U.S. saying to Morsi, you help us with this ceasefire, you go ahead and do what you want?
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. I don't really think that they would do anything like this at all, because we are for democracy. We cannot possibly support a power grab like that.
Well, but on the other hand, you heard what Chris said. There are Egyptians who saw the Mubarak U.S. relationship as just that. You know, the U.S. setting up a puppet dictator who would abide by the U.S. They see, you know, this growing, warming relationship between Hillary Clinton and Morsi as the same thing.
In Mubarak's time, Mubarak was the one that just sat there awaiting signs to do whatever. And Morsi is very different. Morsi has a whole bunch of people behind him, the Muslim Brotherhood leadership. They are the ones that actually dictate what needs to be done. And Mubarak had nothing. Mubarak had himself and was just listened to the winds that came from abroad.
Came from abroad.
Yeah.
So who is he listening to? Muslim Brotherhood outside of Egypt? Is that what you're saying?
No, I meant Mubarak.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So just we're heading up in a break. We're going to bring you back afterwards. But do you believe that President Morsi is genuinely trying to protect this new parliament as it fashions the constitution from the judges who were appointed by Mubarak?
He actually wants to protect the Constitutional Assembly, because the Constitution is almost ready, but there are problems with it, so extend it for 2 months. And he wants that Constitution to stand, because that Constitution is the one that the Muslim Brotherhood wanted. A whole bunch of Egyptians do not want that Constitution the way it is, and they want to change it to be a little more open-ended.
Okay, let's talk more about that fight over the Constitution, which may be at the heart of this edict from Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi. We're speaking with Dr. Farouk Elbaz, again, a professor here at BU, but also served as science advisor to the late Egyptian President Anwar Sadat. Really has his finger on the pulse of that country. We'll have more with him in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our look today at Egypt, which is suddenly very much again on the front burner. Mohamed Morsi, Egypt's democratically elected president, is, to remind you, an Islamist, a longtime member of the Muslim Brotherhood, an organization that was banned off and on under former President Hosni Mubarak. Last week, Morsi played a major role in brokering a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. He received praise from President Obama and others, and then on Thursday granted himself sweeping new powers. Now, right now, he is meeting with judges on the eve of mass protests that are called for tomorrow. Egyptians in favor of Morsi and those that are against him have been protesting ever since he gave that decree, giving himself the powers. Our guest today is Dr. Farouk Elbaz, professor at Boston University, where we're based, and an Egyptian who keeps very close tabs on things back home. Dr. Elbaz, you were saying that at the heart of this disagreement is not something that we were just hearing Egyptians suspect. In other words, that Morsi is walking the same path that Mubarak did, kowtowing to the U.S. in order to create a dictatorship. You say at the heart of this is the constitution that's now being written, that Morsi wanted to protect that constitution from these judges who were appointed by Mubarak. So what is in the constitution that he and the Muslim Brotherhood want? What is not in it that maybe others want? What's the debate?
The Constitutional Assembly was basically put together by the Muslim Brotherhood, and that's what the judges are afraid to, that the constitution will reflect only that opinion of the Muslim Brotherhood. And from the things that the Constitutional Assembly has made public, it seems to be true that most of the constitution has been saying that this is a country that belongs to the Islamic nation, and the rule of law is the rule of law from the Quranic versions, and this kind of thing, which no one in Egypt really wanted to support at all, because there are Copts in Egypt, and what does religion have to do with the constitution?
Well, you say no one wants to support, but they elected President Morsi.
That's correct.
And they knew he was with the Muslim Brotherhood.
That's correct. And as an individual, that's fine. But not to say that this country belongs to the Muslim Brotherhood.
So, in effect, you're saying that the judges who were appointed by the more secular Hosni Mubarak might do something to undermine that constitution that's being put together by the Assembly?
Yes, by saying that the Constitutional Assembly is not proportioned correctly and it is no longer valid. And so we need another Constitutional Assembly, meaning another bunch of people with a better representation of the liberals and others other than the Muslim Brotherhood.
And remind us, too, I mean, there's been so much going on. We'll come back to this conversation. But even before this decree, there were protests in the street in Egypt while President Morsi was trying to tamp down the violence between Palestinians and Israelis. And we understood those protests had to do with police shootings of protesters a while back. So there's been all sorts of upset. What is the general feeling in Egypt? Because once before, there was an attempt to take the power away from the judges, and the people backed that. So what's going on? Are they disenchanted with President Morsi? Is there some buyer's remorse? What's going on?
There is some buyer's remorse because of the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood seems to have taken the success in the elections, electorate success, a little too far by appointing everybody in the Constitutional Assembly from their group, by supporting people in the parliament that's all their group with very few outsiders, by Morsi appointing a cabinet members. All of them are from the people of the trust, meaning either Muslim Brotherhood or people like them. So there is no variety, meaning that the rest of Egyptians feel that they have been slighted.
Well, Chris Lydon, we spoke to earlier, a journalist on the ground there in Cairo. Also, when he was on the ground in Tahrir Square, he spoke with novelist Abdel Megid. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Yes.
And he said that novelist told him, this is the end of Morsi and of U.S. policy. There's a huge protest scheduled for tomorrow. Is that wishful thinking on the part of his detractors?
Oh, very much so, because Morsi can get away from this mess by rescinding that sweeping proposition and making it a little more acceptable to the people.
You're saying Morsi can quickly reverse things by saying, I made a mistake, I didn't mean to have such a decree.
Yeah.
In fact, they're saying that in the talks right now that are ongoing, there's speculation that he will draw back his decree and say that, no, my powers should be limited to, let's say, declarations of war.
Yeah, for instance, like that. Or even that has to do with, even if there is a point that has to do with the Constitutional Assembly, his own Minister of Defense is a very decent judge. Ahmed Makki is a very good man. And he opposed Mubarak's incursion on the judiciary before, and people respect him a lot, and the judges respect, and that's the man that's speaking to the judges right now, Ahmed Makki, the Minister of Justice, whom people respect
trust.
And admire and trust.
And so you're saying, Professor, that just by stepping back a bit, it could resolve all of these issues?
You totally, know? Because they can limit what he says. So they can say what he says is null and void, but he would want to do 1, 2, 3 until such time that the parliament is yeah.
So you're saying that by taking back that decree he could, but what about the ongoing debate over the constitution? What if it becomes the Islamist constitution that these judges would be afraid of? I mean, that's still a possibility.
But they can say that we're going to modify the constitution
So you're saying that he would give the power, he gave the power back to the judges.
Sure.
Do you think that's likely to happen? The Muslim Brotherhood has been very much reformed, we need to say that, from decades ago, but still Islamist, and they've won. Do you think that that side of the equation isn't going to be very unhappy if the judges decree that the constitution needs to be rewritten because it's too Islamist?
No, they can. They can certainly do something about it. They don't have to change it completely, but they can put in words that would be acceptable to the vast majority.
Wow! It feels as if we are watching a revolution shake itself out. Perhaps.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Dr. Farouk Elbaz, professor of geology here at Boston University, also served as science advisor to the late Egyptian president Anwar Sadat, weighing in on protests tomorrow, but talks going on today to perhaps reduce some of that power of the president of Egypt. We'll keep an eye on all of this. Professor, thanks as always for helping us shake it out.
Thank you very much.
Take a quick break. Back with the latest news here and now.